Now, this brought about, this Vishnuistic idea of the ranges of love, quite a little series of moral discussions in the 11th and 12th centuries. The great example of illicit love is our Krishna, after he grew up a little bit and began playing his flute in the woods of Vrindavan. And then all the young wives at night, first they would hear that flute in their hearts. Their hearts would open, then their eyes would open, then they'd look to see if their husbands were aware, and then they'd get up and sneak out to the forest. And then that wonderful dance took place, which became the principal topic of Indian devotional literature in the period that for us is the High Middle Ages. It's a very interesting thing. This literature came to culmination in a work by a young poet, Jayadeva, 1175, which is exactly the date for the flourishing of the Tristan and Isolde story in Europe. And these two traditions are of exactly the same essential sense, except that the contrast of East and West is very vividly present. The Indian is extremely lush, and Krishna dancing sometimes with 6,000 gopis at once, turning himself into 6,000 forms, is something a little more, well, mysterious, let me say, than Tristan moping in the wilderness for Isolde. Furthermore, in the Indian, there's always the religious mood. As to say, the woman becomes symbolic of a divine presence, whereas in the Western tradition, she is herself. There's no symbolism here. There's a secularity, a secular attitude, and a person-to-person attitude, which is very, very different.